Amen.
Amen. As the guys are finishing up the offering, pastors never mind long offerings. Well, take your time. Take your time. Don't mistake for a minute. I just want to talk real quick about Saturday evening. If I could just get that slide for the candlelight. This Saturday, we are meeting at 6 o'clock right here for our annual candlelight experience. And obviously, when you look around the sanctuary, it's a beautiful moment here, just with our aesthetic itself. But we come together once a year like this to remember, to commemorate what Jesus has done for us and what God did for us in sending his son. And one thing we said we really hope to do is be able to touch people with that hope of Jesus. So we encourage you, as we always do, to invite people into that experience. Invite people into that experience. Okay, so that's happening. I said this Saturday. Man, Christmas is like, what, 8 days away? Oh, my gosh. Who's ready? Okay, we got a couple hands. Amen. Amen. Because somebody has to lead. So we appreciate that. We appreciate, as I appreciate what Sam is sharing, too, about everyone being dedicated and giving. We've been blessed. And as we prepare our facility to reach and touch more people going forward. Amen? All right. Turn with your Bible to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to continue with our series here, our Christmas series. And today we're going to be talking about joy, And, when, as many of you know, I do a lot of traveling, a lot of overseas traveling, not in five-star hotels in Europe, but usually in the third world. And one thing you find constantly in the third world is everybody wants to come here. They want to come to the States. Everybody wants to come to the States. Actually, it's almost like an idol. Like, why? Why is that? Because the stories they hear about the United States is a land of blessing, a land of opportunity. And, you know, aren't those things true? Right? That is absolutely true. We are blessed. I said, if you were born in America, you already hit the lottery one time in your life, okay? You may think, I never win anything. Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You were born here. We are blessed. But what they find when they come, as I speak to particularly Africans here, is, you know, they find a land that is blessed, but they find people that are stressed. Okay, so they're blessed but stressed. And they find when they come, it isn't just a land of ease, but it's a land of hard work. It's a land of labor. You know, and again, but we have these blessings. We have these blessings. And here's the truth. See, we are in a blessed land, but we carry way too much stress. The goal of God isn't, his intent is not blessed and stressed. That isn't it. But that's the way we live. That's the way that we walk too often, even in the Church of Jesus Christ. We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that was not God's intent. We don't have to live this way. And let's look, again, as we started last week, speaking about Jesus, the proclamation of Jesus when he came to earth. And in Luke chapter 2, okay, this is start picking up in verse 8. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem. See, God doesn't intend you to be stressed. When he came, he was proclaiming good news. Say good news. Good news. He came to proclaim something good, right? He did not come to proclaim, I'm the new ruler in town and you all have to be under my thumb, right? He came with a different message. And this is what God is trying to communicate to mankind. How often in your life have you had a problem communicating with somebody, right? Some of you are saying, yeah, I live with this person for 40 years and I still can't communicate, right? We have issues with communication. And how often are you trying to communicate and you find out the person is not hearing? Okay, stop pointing fingers back there, right? How often have you tried to communicate and my wife, even this will happen with us, as great as our marriage is. And she'll look at me and say, that's not what you said. And I'm saying, well, that's what I intended. That's what I intended. So if we miscommunicate, we don't catch what God's trying to speak. When God says it's good news, Right? When he says there is joy, when he says there is peace, like we spoke about last week, he means it. Okay, but we aren't hearing the message. We're not hearing it. And again, and we have a Father who loves us, and we're not hearing it with clarity what he's speaking. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Or ouch, say ouch if it hurts, okay? But you see, because I want to learn to follow him. Why? Because it's good news. There's something good here. There's something I don't want to miss. You know, again, today we're in the second part of our series, and this is hone in on verse 10. Verse 10, that next slide. Okay, it says, but it's where the angel says, reassures those shepherds, because they didn't understand what was happening. Okay, he says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Okay, good news. He said, that's what I'm bringing, good news. And he's talking about the gospel message, the gospel, the good news. What is that? What's that news about? It's about forgiveness. Okay, you can be forgiven by the grace of God. We can be forgiven because God's amazing act as he came in a manger and sent his son to come and die for you. Is that good news? Amen. Right? He removes our sin, but not he doesn't just stop with that. He'll also take away your doubt, right? Takes away your shame, takes away your regret. Okay. And again, can you just appreciate for a moment God takes away your shame? Just appreciate that. Right, man, he takes it away. He removes it. That is good news. Okay, and he replaces it with a relationship with him. He's not a God far off. See, we don't serve a God, and this is where we've miscommunicated, we've missed God's communication. Many of us, we think serving God is following rules, okay, doing the right things, and then I'm okay with the big guy. Okay, but it's so much better than that. He says, I want to relate with you. I want to call you a daughter. I want to call you a son. That's the type of relationship he wants. We have good news, and that's what they were proclaiming. This is a good thing. There's a new king in town, but he's not a king to rule you with iron, right? He's a king who wants to lead you with love, and he's going to show that, by coming and laying down his life. Then he says, and again, of course, it said in verse 10, it said, not only do I have good news, but it's great, will bring you great joy. That's, again, what is joy? Well, you know what joy is. It's exceeding abundant happiness. But it's way beyond happiness because it's way beyond emotion. Okay, it's this last part. It's awareness of grace and favor of God. That should bring you joy. There should be joy resonating out of us, no matter what the circumstances are around us. That's the promise that we have. That's what's available. You have good news, and this good news will bring you joy. It should excite you. There should be something good happening inside of you in this time. You know, like last week, we talked about peace. That God said, he came, the first proclamation of those angels was peace on earth. I want to bring peace. See, but if you don't have peace, you don't have joy, right? God said, I've come. I've got this good news for you. Good news. See, because here's the thing, when we think about the story of Jesus coming, what we celebrate at Christmas, it's so simple. It is so simple, right? But we complicate it with our religion, okay? The simplicity of you had a sin problem, you deserve hell, right? Because you don't obey God. He has a simple answer. I'm going to send my son to die for you. Now, it's simple. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's simple, though. It's clear. He sends his son. He said, my son's going to die for you and pay your price so you don't have to be separated from me forever, okay? But what you have to choose, to receive this, and that should bring you peace and joy. Paul was concerned about the new Christians in the city of Corinth. This is recorded in his second letter in the 11th chapter. He said, I'm concerned that you will fall away from the simplicity of devotion to Jesus Christ. It's simple. It's simple, but we complicate it. We complicate it. We start doubting God, right? We doubt him. And he said, look, this is good news. This is good news. And he says, I bring you great joy. And next he says, it's for everybody. It's for all the people. It wasn't just for the Jews, okay? This is good news for everyone. See, so the people around you that aggravate you, okay, this is good news for them. For people around you that are far from God and you worry about their eternity, where they're going to spend eternity, this is good news for them. Okay? This is good news for everyone, for all people. This is the proclamation that the angels had. Man, he says, it's simple. Catch it. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. And we can walk in this joy. We can walk in this joy. And of course, what can bring such joy? And that's where really we do look at verse 11 here. We look at this 11th verse. Why do we have such joy? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. Hey, let's just break that down. Savior, the Savior, the one who saves us from sin. Okay, again, the one who's going to save you from your sin has been born now. You know, so many people, you know, live their lives not knowing they have a problem, right? You ever try to communicate to someone they were really socially handicapped and they didn't know it, okay? Right, and so they don't know they're having a problem. They don't know they're alienating people. Okay, they don't see the problem, and you're trying to communicate to them the problem. See, the real issue the world has is in our culture, is they don't know they have a need. They don't know they have a problem. They don't know they need a savior. Right, we live in a blessed land. And one of our biggest things we have to fight, we have to pray that God can help us open people's eyes, is they don't think they need a savior. They don't think they have a sin problem, right? And if they do have a sin problem, they may admit they have some things they do wrong, but it's not bad enough that God's really concerned and would keep them out of eternity. Is that true? No. There is a sin problem, but people don't recognize they have it. Right? And that's why so often people resist the message of Jesus Christ that we try to share. They don't know they have a problem. Okay? And so, God, we need to pray. God, reveal this. Help me. Help me be able to reveal that they see they have a need for a Savior in their lives who saves us from our sin. Then he goes on and he proclaims Messiah, you know, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ has come. Messiah is the Old Testament word for the anointed one. Christ is the New Testament word, the Greek word. It's Hebrew and Greek. Okay, and we see Jesus, it says Jesus, the anointed one. When he would speak this to the Jews, they would know who he was talking about, right? Because he's speaking to a Jewish audience here. These shepherds were Jewish. Okay, and they would say this anointed one, the one that they've been speaking about for hundreds of years, this is he. And when they would say the anointed one, I believe they would be taught that this would be referring to Isaiah 61, where it says, behold, I bring good news to the poor, and I want to heal broken hearts and set captives free. See, I believe when I think Messiah, I think getting set free from all my stuff. All my bondages. I'm being set free from my past, right? That's the blessing of having the Messiah, of having the anointed one. See, so why should you have joy? For your sin's forgiven. Your sin is forgiven. And I want to rejoice in that as much today as the day I found that out, right? And again, what also I want to rejoice for? The Messiah has come, the anointed one. I am healed. I am whole. I am whole today. I'm not haunted by regret. I'm not haunted by shame. I'm not haunted by guilt. Is that good news? Right? So that, again, that should elicit joy inside of us. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. You want to walk in joy. You want to know who he is, the reality of who Jesus Christ is. So he said, this is good news. It's going to bring you great joy. It's going to be for everybody. Why? Because the Savior is here who's going to take away your sin. Why? Because he is anointed to set you free from all the stuff that holds you back, all the stuff that you feel guilty about and you hurt for. He has come and set you free. That's something to be joyful about. And thirdly, listen though, here's the one. This one's a little more of a rub. It says he's the Lord. He's the Lord. The Lord has come. That one may not excite you as much, right? Because what does Lord mean? That means he's in control. He's in control. But here's, it comes back to that whole thing. You have to know the simplicity of the message. How good is the news? Is anybody else able to set you free from your sin? Right? Has anybody else laid down their son's life for you? No. Right? And again, that hasn't happened. See, has anybody else promised to set you free from your sin, guilt, and regret? No. So do you think this is a good leader? Right? Yeah, listen, here's what we don't realize. All of us are following somebody. Right? You're either following the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. One or the other. Okay. So who are you going to follow? Who do you want to follow? Right? I want to follow the kingdom of light. Right? I want to follow him. See, so, but he said, but I got to know that he is good. I got to know he is the Lord that I can trust, that I can follow, that I long to follow and pursue. Again, he's the CEO, he's the president, he's the boss, and that is good news. That's good news. Okay. Said, but you have to know who he is. See, and people reject the message. See, first, because they don't know they have a need, and if that's not it, the second one is, I don't want a Lord. Can I just have the Savior Messiah part and not the Lord part? No, this isn't a buffet, all right? You get the whole thing or you get nothing. And this is another issue, particularly in the Western cultures, in our culture, all right? Again, why does 70% of America, really 68% of America still say they're Christians in a poll? Why? Because they have a Savior, they want a Messiah, but they don't want a Lord. See, but they think that they're a Christian because they believe in Jesus, and they want him to, they believe he forgives sin. But this lordship thing, they don't want. Okay? There's nowhere in the Bible that you find Savior. You get the Savior free from your sin without Lord. You don't get Savior without Lord. They go together. It's a matching set. Okay? And so that this is why people struggle. And listen. It's also an issue, the reason why we struggle when maintaining joy. We struggle with that. If you're going to maintain the joy that God has for you, there's maintenance required. Maintenance required. For all of you that own a home, there's maintenance required, right? It's constant maintenance. And, you know, we've been in our home a long time, and you got the whole thing remodeled, and you think you're done. And you're like, God, it's been so long since we did the first room. We got to start over again. Right? There's a constant maintenance that has to happen. You have to maintain it. And if you want to walk in the joy of God, there is a maintenance that has to be done. Or else, man, because you, one thing I find is I can lose joy fast. You can walk out of here and you can have a flat tire and all of a sudden any joy that you were trying to take just got sucked right out of you. Okay, right? It doesn't take much. One phone call and it's gone. Like, no, that's not what God intends. Okay, because we know there's going to be trouble. There's going to be stress. There are some things will happen, but there is a peace. There is a joy that you and I can walk in. What do we got to do? Listen, we have to maintain. We have to maintain and work at maintaining the joy of the Lord. You know, many of us know the parable of the sower. If you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. And what's going on here? We're not going to read through this whole parable that Jesus taught. Okay, but what's going on here is earlier in the chapter, Jesus gives a word picture of a farmer sowing seeds, and some of the seed falls on the road, and some of it falls among stones and rocks, and some falls in the weeds, and some falls on very good soil. And just listen up here again, because we're just going to talk about what we're missing and how we can maintain joy as we look at a couple verses here. Jesus is explaining the parable here in verse 20. Okay, it says the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message. They hear the good news, right? Savior, Messiah, Lord, and they receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away when? As soon as problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Tell me, how long did it take you to figure out after you started following Jesus that you still had trouble? Right? Some of you are saying, before I walked out the door, right? Because, again, because that's reality. And listen, there will be some people who don't like that there is a change in your life. There were some people that I had to change relationships after I got saved, right? Again, because I would state who I was, and well, maybe they changed them. They didn't want to be around me anymore. But the point is, there were things that had to change. Why? Because there was, people aren't going to be excited about what you do. Okay, and but catch this. See, if you're gonna be one who doesn't work the soil of your mind, you know the soil around here. Sometimes it's hard. Like, I can't plant grass in our side yard. I've been trying for decades, and why? There's just no depth to it. It's shallow and it's hard. It's hard soil. You really got to work the soil if we're ever going to get grass to grow. Okay, and listen, some of you are really hard-headed, and you got to really work that soil if you're going to walk in joy. Why? Because your mind wants to go a different direction. Your mind doesn't want to, your mind wants to worry. Right? We're inclined to worry. We're inclined to anxiety. See, but God has a remedy for that. So let's read on here. So he said, so if you don't maintain the soil, okay, it's your plant's going to die. Your faith is going to die because it's not deep. You have to work the soil. Then it says the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Okay, again, the lure of the world. We are a blessed people in America. Hallelujah. Listen, we are so blessed. And one of the advantages of traveling a lot in the third world is I get to really see it and appreciate it in a very tangible way. In a very tangible way, because I get to see it. But it helps keep me on my square, right? What are we living for? Are we living for it's not just people who buy the airplane that are caught in the lure of wealth. Everyone in this room can be caught in the lure of wealth, right? Again, why? And what happens then? Well, the seed, the good news gets choked out by worries or temptation. Worries or temptation. See, we have got to work the soil. You've got to work the soil of your soul if you're going to walk in joy, because it will get robbed. To keep your joy, you have to work the soil of your mind. That next slide, please. So again, you got to catch this. If you're going to walk in joy, there is a responsibility you have, because your own flesh is against you, and you're being tempted from the outside, tempted to worry, and tempted to invest your life in things that don't matter. Okay, if you're doing that, you're not going to maintain the peace and joy of God. You will lose the good news, right? And that's the last thing we want. So what do we got to do for this? Well, listen, you have to renew your mind. Two things we're going to talk about, two answers. You want to walk in joy? Renew your mind. If you don't have Proverbs 4:23 underlined or circled in your Bible, highlighted in your Bible app or whatever, you need to do it. Okay, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. This needs guarded. Okay, why does it need guarded? Because there's things attacking it. There's things attacking your mind, right? Your heart speaks of your innermost being. There's things attacking you. If you don't guard it, you are not good enough to defend yourself from the temptation of worry or the temptation of the world. Okay? So you have to be actively on your guard. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, Paul said. Be transformed how? The renewing of your mind. There's a renewal that takes place as you feed on the word of God, as you remember, keep it simple. That's why worship is so powerful. You know, again, worship on any given time we're together is so rich, but it's all because we're just simplistically focused on Jesus Christ. And there is life that happens. There is strength that happens because we do that. Right? Keep it simple. Okay, and so there's worship, there's prayer, and the word of God. I need renewed. That's why I read the book. That's why you need to be reading the Bible. Listen, if you're a follower, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have not picked up the Bible 5 times this week, at least to read a couple verses, right? Listen, you're falling behind. You're falling behind. It's hard to maintain joy if you're not feeding yourself the right stuff, if you're not maintaining, if you're not working the soil of your mind. You've got to work the soil. Okay? And we want to fool ourselves. We want to fool ourselves and think that we're okay. There's so much more. There's so much more that we can have. What's the other thing we need to do? Look, we need to recognize we need other people. We've got to have other people in our lives. If I'm going to maintain joy, if I'm going to walk in the peace of God, in the power of God, that next slide, please. Ephesians 4. Okay, this is Paul speaking again. And remember, he's speaking to new Christians. He's speaking to new believers. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more like Christ. Okay, now go on. Who are they speaking the truth of love to? Other people. They're not speaking to themselves. All right. who is, it says, more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. Look at verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. How? As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Listen, see, there is a connectedness that is demanded for us to be able to walk in the wholeness and the fullness of God. You have to have it. I cannot walk in joy without him. I've got to have him. I've got to have him close to me, right? I've got to have you close to me. I renew my mind, right? But I've got to have you. I need people around me. So I said, so again, if we're going to work the soil of our soul and maintain joy, how are we going to do that? How do we make that happen? Well, we have to renew our mind, and it's all about relationship, relationship, relationship. You can't do it alone. If you can to take that last part of that verse, it helps other parts grow. When you fit together, all the other parts grow. The whole body can be healthy, growing and full of love. If you're trying to do this on your own, you can't walk in joy. And we have this blessing, this gift of joy. We have this gift that God has given us. You put up that last slide. And again, so he said, so grab hold of that reality, okay? Again, you have to choose. I'm going to renew my mind that I can walk in the joy of God. I'm going to walk in his joy. And it's about relationship. This is what God intended for you. I want you to know it's good. I want you to be filled with joy. And I want you to know it's for everybody. See, but if you're filled with joy, you want to share it, right? You know, when you're joyful, you want to share the experience, don't you? If you found a place with good pizza, you want to tell people, right? Okay, you want to share it. You want to share. Joy comes out of you. Joy is contagious. Joy is contagious. And I want to share that. I want to share it. So, and isn't it interesting? They said it's for all people. It wasn't, the angels weren't saying, hey, God says there's good news. He's finally coming just for you. He says, no, he says it's for everyone. Everyone. I want everyone to know that there is good news. There's good news, okay? And you know, as we close here, we're going to close singing Joy to the World again. But I just want to share with you, though, again, what's unique about this song is that this song was not written as a Christmas carol. Joy to the World was not written as a Christmas carol. It was written actually as a song about the second coming of Jesus, not the first one. And it's out of Psalm 98. And Genesis chapter 3 is where it came from. And so really, when they're saying joy to the world, the Lord has come, they're talking about the second time he comes back, which again is to celebrate, and we're celebrating that we have joy. He is returning and redeeming us, right? And that is what we're speaking about. And it says it makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. It makes a little more sense now, okay? Like, because he's coming back again. He's coming again. And so let's all stand. Let's all stand. And let's just sing this. We're going to sing Joy to the World again. But what you'll be thinking about, first, appreciating the joy that you have in God. Appreciating the joy that you have in God. All right? But knowing that, look, I want this to be shown. I want this to be shared. If you don't overflow in joy, you're making your witness of God much harder than it needs to be. Let's thank him for the first coming and look forward to the second.